Welcome to Good News from the Good Book with Dr. Tim Rader, Senior Pastor at the Fundamental Baptist Church, located in Kinross, Michigan. Stay with us for the next 30 minutes as we bring you a message from God's Word.
Take your Bibles out and turn to the book of Matthew in chapter number 3. Matthew in chapter number 3, we're going to read those first six verses there. Matthew chapter 3, verses 1 through 6. Matthew in chapter 3. Starting with verse 1. In those days came John the Baptist, preaching in the wilderness of Judea, and saying, "Repent ye, for the kingdom of heaven is at hand. For this is he that was spoken of by the prophet Esaias, saying, the voice of one crying in the wilderness, prepare ye the way of the Lord, make his path straight. And the same John had his raiment of camel's hair and his leathern girdle about his loins, and his meat was locust and wild honey. Then went out to him Jerusalem and all Judea and all the region round about Jordan, and were baptized of him in Jordan, confessing their sins."
And we come to you this morning. We pray your blessing upon the Word of God. Thank you that you have entrusted it to us. Thank you that we have a copy of it before us. And God, would you help me today to be a Bible preacher? And Lord, all of us be good listeners and students of the Scripture. And we pray again that your Holy Spirit would be our preacher. And God, you would instruct us and you would guide us. You'd direct us. You'd admonish us. You'd warn us. God, that we might be led unto repentance. And God, if there's someone here that isn't born again, we pray for their salvation. For those that are saved, God, just help all of us to get a little bit closer to thee. And we'll thank you for everything that is accomplished this morning. In Christ's name, amen. You may be seated. Good to have you here. We got visitors here. We almost always have visitors. Glad that you're with us. I trust that if you come this morning thirsty for the truth, you hear the Word of God and you hear of Jesus and you come to know Him as your Savior. If you don't, if you aren't saved, if you are saved, glad you're here. And we pray that that you'd grow. And if you would, would you please remember to be praying for Dalton and Leanne? They lost their little baby this last week, and they're here this morning with some of their family. We're glad that they're with us, and we trust that they'll find out how good God is. They'll find out what a great, great, great God we serve. John in chapter 1. Would you turn to John in chapter 1? I have never preached a message on John the Baptist. And I've actually been preparing. It's been on my heart for a couple of weeks. And when I have time, even while I was preparing other messages, I'd do a little research on this. I've got so much material, kind of like preaching the book of Revelation in a small way. There's too much to preach. I'm not going to preach every text I have written down. I'm going to try to just make things very concise. But I'll start this message up by saying this. We need some John the Baptist kind of Christians today. We do. I mean, John the Baptist kind of Christians. Christians that aren't ashamed of Jesus. Christians that aren't afraid. Not afraid of death. Not afraid of being different. Not afraid of standing out in the crowd. You know, that Christian is willing to put on, camel's hair and loins girt about with the truth and sounding forth that reed, that voice in the wilderness that sometimes stands all by himself or all by herself. And they're not ashamed. Not ashamed of Jesus. John in chapter 1. Let's look there together. And I'll summarize some of this here this morning. Verse 1, in the beginning was the Word, and the Word was with God, and the Word was God. Now, we know who that Word is based on verse 14, right? He's Jesus. The Word became flesh. All right, verse 2. The same was in the beginning with God. All things were made by Him, and without Him was not anything made that was made. So Jesus is our eternal great God. Verse 4. In Him is life, or was life, and the life was the light of men. That's our Christ. And the light shineth in darkness, and the darkness comprehended it not. We got a missionary to Israel here this morning, and we all know this. Israel as a nation nation has rejected Jesus Christ as the Messiah. Not all Jews. The first century church was a Jewish church, but as a nation, you know, they've got a veil over their eyes, and they've rejected Jesus as the Messiah. So the light was in the darkness, and the darkness comprehended it not, but not so much different than our culture today here in America. Jesus Christ is real. He's alive. He is our Savior. And we live in a culture of darkness, and people, even though they know of Jesus, they don't know who Jesus is and what he's done for them and what he will do for them if they'll just come to him. There was a man sent from God, here it is, whose name was John, John the Baptist, John the Baptizer. It says, the same came for a witness, to bear witness of the light, that all men through him might believe. That was God's will, that all men, it is God's will today, that all men be saved. John came as a witness to bear witness of that light. He was the forerunner of Jesus. He was the one that came, the last Old Testament prophet that came and said, Jesus Christ is the Messiah. He's the one that made the path straight. He was the one that kind of prepared the people so that they would understand. I would say this before I go any further in the message. When I read and study of John the Baptist, I find an outstanding, powerful, no holds barred, plain speaking kind of preacher. That's what we need in America. That's what we need all over the world. He referred to himself as a reed shaking in the wind, a voice in the wilderness. He truly was an old time preacher man. He was humble. He wasn't about himself. It was about Jesus Christ, and he exalted our Lord and Savior, Jesus. He was a man's man. Pastor Josh read the text this morning out of the Gospel of Matthew. He didn't wear soft clothing. He was fearless. He looked at the Sadducees and the Pharisees that were around him and called them snakes. He called them vipers. He named their sin. He truly was a preacher of righteousness. And he was a man of God that exalted Jesus. That's what we need. That's what we're supposed to be doing right now. Let's go back to the Gospel of John, chapter 1. There was a man sent from God whose name was John. The same came for a witness to bear witness of the light that all men through him might believe. He was not that light, but was sent to bear witness of that light. Every preacher needs to bear that in mind and never get to the place where they're building their own little empire. It says, that was the true light which lighteth every man that cometh into the world. He was in the world, and the world was made by him, and the world knew him not. He came, this talking of Jesus, he came unto his own, and his own received him not. But as many as receive him, to them give you the power to become the sons of God, even to them which believe on his name, which were born not of blood, nor of the will of the flesh, nor of the will of man. In other words, not fleshly birth, but of God. Born of God. Born again. The writer of the Gospel of John, he emphasizes that. Jesus emphasizes that in John in chapter 3 when he said, ye must be born again. When he said, except a man be born again, he cannot see the kingdom of God. So he can't just be born of the flesh. He must be born of God. Verse 14, the word was made flesh. That's Jesus, dwelt among us. We beheld his glory, the glory of the only begotten of the Father, full of grace and truth. John bare witness of him and cried, saying, this was he of whom I spake, that cometh after me and is preferred before me, for he was before me. And of his fullness have all we received, and grace for grace. Jesus, John is saying, Jesus is Messiah. He is the promised one. He is the promised Redeemer, and he is all we need. Verse 17, for the law was given by Moses, but grace and truth came by Jesus Christ. What a Savior. No man hath seen God at any time. The only begotten Son, which is in the bosom of the Father, he hath declared him. Jesus is God. Okay, I've got 4 points. I want to make this as clear as I can, and I want to make it real exactly where we were. Verse 19. And this is the record of John. When the Jews sent priests and Levites from Jerusalem to ask him, who art thou? And he confessed and denied not, but confessed, I am not the Christ. And they asked him, what then? And art thou Elias? And he saith, I am not. Art thou that prophet? And he answered, no. John the Baptist simply said, I am not Messiah. So what's that all about, preacher? This is what's going on. He is making an impact in the nation of the people of God. He is in Israel and he's preaching repentance. He's preparing the way for the Messiah. This was prophesied that a man would come in the spirit of Elijah and he would make the people ready so they have opportunity, ample opportunity, to receive Jesus Christ as their personal Savior. And he was baptizing people, and baptism is just, it's an Old Testament thing. It's a New Testament. It's a New Testament for the church as well, different kind of baptism. He was baptizing unto repentance. All that was he was getting people to prepare for Jesus Christ. Baptism is identification. It's identifying New Testament, death, burial, and resurrection. Baptism by immersion, death, burial, and resurrection. Romans chapter 6, buried in the likeness of his death, raised again to walk in newness of life. It's a picture. It's symbolic. The candidate for baptism is the born-again person that says, I want to identify with Jesus Christ. I'm his. I'm not ashamed. Okay, so rewind that before Jesus' ministry. Now it's John the Baptist, and he's preparing people for the Lord. And the picture is he is baptizing them. It's not salvation. Baptism isn't salvation at any point in the scripture. But he's getting them to identify with the coming Messiah. And he's making an impact. Picture this. Great lines of people, hundreds, maybe thousands, going out into the wilderness to be baptized by John the Baptizer. The last of the Old Testament prophets. Something's happening in Israel. Something's happening among God's people. The Son of God was born about 30 years prior to this. The Son of God was born in the flesh, incarnate, took on the robes of man, born and laid in a manger. You know the Christmas story. He lived this 30 years and now he's ready to be presented. And John the Baptist stands forth and says, he's coming. That one who others have rejected, he's coming. He's the light of the world. The religious leaders, they sent messengers unto John saying, are you saying you're the Messiah? I'm not the Messiah. You saying you're the old? No, I am not the prophet. I there's one coming whose shoes I am not worthy to unloosen. His name is Jesus. Jesus said of John the Baptist in another text, he's the greatest of the Old Testament prophets up to that point. Man, here's a man just totally sold out. You don't read anything about what he owned. Maybe nothing. Man, he's wearing camel's hair. Hell, he's out in the wilderness and the people are coming to him. And he's making a way for the Lord. I want to say this for a first point. John the Baptist was a Baptist preacher. Because that's what he was called. Let me explain this to you. There are over 50 different kinds of Baptists. And I'm none of them. None of them. It is not about a denomination. To all of our misinformed and misled friends, it has never been about a denomination. Never. That is, the denominations are of men. It's about being a New Testament Christian. It's about following God. Now, I'm a Baptist today. Somebody said, what would you be if you weren't a Baptist? I'd be ashamed. I remember an old man saying that, and I've never forgotten that. I said, man, that's pretty good. But here's what it is. Being a Baptist isn't an end in itself. It is not a denomination. We are an independent Baptist church. We don't worship or bow down to a board, to a hierarchy. It's not about building a kingdom here in this world, but Baptists, true Baptists, true people who are born again, here's what it is. If it says it in the Bible, there it is. And that's what I am, period. And that makes me, according to the Baptist distinctives, that makes me a Baptist. That is not denominational. I'm a biblicist. I'm a Christian. I'm not a Baptist brighter. I don't fall into that camp. I know God's always had a people. God has always had a people. Here's the truth. Let me get off of this. They called him John the Baptizer. He didn't call himself that. Being a Baptist preacher is an earned title. That's what it is. It's not bequeathed on anybody, all right? You don't buy it. That's not how it works. During the Dark Ages, there were Bible believers that were converting people to Christ, and many of them were Catholic people during the Dark Ages. They were coming to Christ. They were being born again. And after they get born again, Bible baptism, not salvation, identification. So they were being baptized in the name of the Father, the Son, and the Holy Spirit. And the Catholic Church referred to them as Anabaptists. That means rebaptizers. So many people were getting born again and then getting baptized, and it was a derogatory term. Oh, they're Anabaptists. They're rebaptizers. I'm telling you again, it's an earned title. And it's something that, not with a sinful way, but that's something to be proud of. I identify with Jesus Christ. And I'll say it one more time. It is not about building a kingdom. It is not about a denomination. And when you go to preachers, they come in all shapes and sizes and all different kinds of personalities and orders and disorders. And you know, just all kinds of people that have called of God and surrendered to preach. And we need more of them. And as far as New Testament Christians, the lay people, as far as the people that aren't full-time preachers, but you're a full-time Christian, man, we need more John the Baptist kind of New Testament Christians in the day and age in which we live, especially in the day and age in which we live. Well, he was a Baptist preacher. And if you read 2 Timothy chapter 4, we'll not do it now. I'll close with it here in just a few moments. We're to preach the word. And that was John the Baptist. Man, he didn't hold anything back. Not at all. And he was baptizing. Let's go to John in chapter 1. Let's look at verse 22. It says, "Then said they unto him, Who art thou, that we may give an answer to them that sent us? What sayest thou of thyself? And he said, I am the voice of one crying in the wilderness. Make straight the way of the Lord, as said the prophet Isaiah. And they which were sent of the Pharisees, and they which were sent were of the Pharisees, and they asked him and said unto him, Why baptizest thou then, if thou be not that Christ, nor Elias, neither that prophet? And John answered them, saying, I baptize you with water, but there standeth one among you whom ye know not. And it says in a parallel passage, he'll baptize you with fire. He was talking about the Holy Spirit. He was talking about the day of Pentecost. He was talking about every time a sinner gets born into the family of God and they are baptized by way of the Holy Spirit into the family of God and indwelt by the Holy Spirit, that same Holy Spirit of God. He said, I'm baptizing with water. That's just H2O. That's just the River Jordan. That's just dirty water. That's all it is. It doesn't wash away sin. It's just symbolic is what it is. I'm baptizing people under repentance, but there's coming one after me. He'll baptize you with fire. I'm not worthy to loose his shoes. Verse 27, he it is who coming after me is preferred before me, whose shoes latchet I am not worthy to unloose. These things were done and Bethabara beyond Jordan where John was baptizing. What John was saying is, as he was baptizing, I'm nothing and I'm nobody, but there's one coming. There's one coming that will baptize with fire. In fact, the church age is just about to start. The day of Pentecost, that event is going to take place. A one-time event where the Holy Spirit descends. First of all, God, Jesus the Son, ascends up into heaven. And then later on the day of Pentecost, the Holy Spirit descends down to this earth. And the church is born. And man, the church takes over Jerusalem. And it goes to all the known world, preaching the gospel to every living creature. And it's still the church age. And we are still here at the end of the church age. And we get to serve God if we would just surrender to him that we might know his power. Look at verse 29. He was a Baptist preacher. He was baptizing. He was a Bible thumper. There's no two ways about it. I don't know that John the Baptist was eloquent. And I know some preachers that are not eloquent. I are one, all right? I know some preachers that are eloquent. God bless them. And they have more ability than I have in that area, and that's fine. But I know one thing. John the Baptist didn't mix words. In fact, he made people mad. We might get to that just before he loses his head. Verse 29, the next day John seeth Jesus coming unto him, and he saith, Behold the Lamb of God, which taketh away the sin of the world. This is he whom I have said, or whom I said, after me cometh a man which is preferred before me, for he is before me. Understand what's going on. Hundreds and even thousands of people are being attracted to John the Baptist. They know something is going on. Something is happening. They're being baptized unto repentance. Man, they're trying to make their heart prepare their heart. They're trying to get the nation Israel for the Messiah. They thought, actually, some of them thought the kingdom was going to be ushered in right then at that point. And they didn't understand the complete plan of God. So all this is going on, and people are getting mad, and John is standing up and he's preaching righteousness. He preached against Herod, because Herod unlawfully and immorally took his brother's wife to be his wife. And I think her name was Herodias. And Salome, her daughter, and by the way, Herodias wanted John the Baptist dead. She wanted him dead. There she is at the right hand of the throne of King Herod, and she's in his ear all the time. But Herod liked John the Baptist. He understood that some of the things that John the Baptist was saying just made absolute sense, and it was kind of entertaining for him as well. And then, of course, his stepdaughter, Herodias' daughter, does a dance, and it's a very sensual dance, and he stands up afterwards and says, "Anything you want, it's yours. It's yours." And she asks her mom, and her mom says, "Bring me John the Baptist's head on a platter." And that's how John lost his head. But he stood against unrighteousness. He preached against sin. He preached morality. I was going to say something there. I don't know. He probably preached against leggings right there. I don't know that, right? Verse 29. Hey, if I had some more guts, I wouldn't even pause there, would I have? All right, verse 29. Yeah, John the Baptist. "The next day John seeth Jesus coming unto him, and he said, Behold the Lamb of God." A Bible thumper. I want to say some things about being a Bible thumper. The Bible tells us in 2 Timothy in chapter 2 and verse 15 that we're to study to show ourselves approved unto God, a workman that needeth not to be ashamed, rightly dividing the word of truth. A Bible thumper is not a bull in a china shop. He rightly divides the word of truth. He's not an uneducated man. He's learning and growing all of the time. A Bible thumper who is someone who, like we read in Isaiah chapter 28 and verse 10, he exegetes the scripture line upon line and precept upon precept. A Bible thumper, according to Acts chapter 20 and verse 27, proclaims the whole counsel of God. Doesn't pull any punches. He gives it all out as best he can. And a Bible thumper, according to Philippians chapter 2 and verse 10, does everything he can to exalt in all of his preaching, exalt and manifest Jesus Christ as the only Savior of the world. He is the only begotten Son of God. Understand this morning. John the Baptist, that's exactly what he did. He stood up, he let the chips fly, and they flew wherever they went, and people were upset. Many, by the hundreds, perhaps by the thousands, were turning and preparing their heart for Jesus Christ. They were even baptized under repentance. John the Baptizer was standing up, and he was a preacher. Now, picture it in your mind before I start to close this off, because I'm almost out of time already, and I didn't cover a lot of what I wanted to cover, but picture this. Hundreds of people are making their way to the river where the prophet is preaching. Maybe thousands of people. They're in line after he's done preaching to identify with the coming Messiah, to prepare their heart and their land for the promised Redeemer who was to come. Some tried to worship John. Say, "John, you're the Redeemer? You're the Messiah?" He said, "I am not. I am not. I'm just baptizing with water. This is just dirty H2O flowing in the River Jordan. That's all it is. But there comes one after me whose shoes I am not worthy to unloose. And when he comes, you'll know him. He's going to baptize with fire." And here we are. Verse 29, he says, "Behold the Lamb of God, which taketh away the sin of the world." As Jesus is approaching, a day that John is preaching, he sees the Messiah coming. And he said, "Behold, there he is, the Lamb of God, that taketh away the sin of the world." And then he says it a second time. Skip on down. Let me read to it. Verse 30 says, "This is he whom I've said, after me cometh a man which is preferred before me, for he was before me and I knew him not, but that he should be made manifest to Israel. Therefore am I come baptizing with water." This is why John the Baptist was there, to make Jesus known. Hey, this is why you're here. This is why the church exists. To make Jesus known. I mean, the Jesus of the Bible, not just a religious thing. So people will be born again. So people will be born into the family of God, born of the Spirit of God, and their sins washed away and made clean through the blood atonement of the only begotten Son, the Lamb of God. John the Baptist, the Old Testament prophet, saying all those animal sacrifices, they were pictures. Here's the real deal. This is Jesus. Behold, the Lamb of God. Verse 32 says, "And John bare record, saying, I saw," speaking of the baptism of Jesus, "I saw the Spirit descending from heaven like a dove." You can read about that in Matthew chapter 3. "And abode upon him." That was the baptism of Jesus. The Spirit of God came down in a physical way so John the Baptist and others could see it. The voice of God the Father, "This is my beloved Son. Hear ye him." Verse 33 says, "And I knew him not, but he that sent me to baptize with water, the same said unto me, upon whom thou shalt see the Spirit descending and remaining on him, that the same is he which baptizeth with the Holy Ghost. And I saw and bear record that this is the Son of God." Again, the next day, after John stood and two of his disciples, and looking upon Jesus as he walketh, he saith, second time he says it, "Behold the Lamb of God." And the two disciples heard him speak, and they followed him. That was Andrew and Peter, and then Philip and Nathaniel, and it begins to grow. And man, it's an amazing thing what God is doing in winning people and saving sinners and making a way for sinners, sinful man, to go to heaven. That's what Jesus has done. If John the Baptist were here this morning, and he was, if Jesus walked in, it'd be very obvious. But John the Baptist would stand in this pulpit and be a Bible thumper, and even if it meant him losing his head, he would say, "Behold the Lamb of God, which taketh away the sin of the world." He didn't cover the sin. It's gone as far as the east is from the west. Now, maybe you're here this morning, you say, "Man, I wish I had that in my life. I wish all my sins were gone, as far as the east is from the west, buried in the deepest sea, man, to be remembered no more." It can happen this morning. If you'll simply call on Christ to be your Savior, if you'll repent of your sin, knowing you're a sinner, knowing you're going to go to hell except for Jesus, and reach out and receive Christ this morning, He will save you. He'll give to you eternal life. I close with saying this. John the Baptist was an old-time preacher man. John the Baptist was unashamed of Jesus. John the Baptist was not afraid. He wasn't afraid to be different. He wasn't afraid of the future. He wasn't afraid of death. He was greatly used of God. We need some John the Baptist kind of Christians here at Fundamental Baptist Church. I'm not asking you to be a bull in a china shop. I am asking you to be not ashamed of Christ. It's amazing how many insecure people there are in the family of God. Blush to speak the name of Christ. God help you. He's your Savior. He's washed away all your sins. He's given you a home in heaven and you're ashamed? Afraid. Afraid to be different. Afraid to stand out. Afraid of the future. We need some John the Baptist kind of Christians. God will use you if you surrender to Him.
Thank you for listening to Good News from the Good Book, broadcast under the direction of Dr. Tim Rader, Senior Pastor at the Fundamental Baptist Church, in Kinross, Michigan. For more information, please visit our website at fbconline.net. We invite you to stay tuned for the next broadcast when Dr. Tim Rader will bring you Good News from the Good Book.